Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
I miss you. I miss your face. I miss your hair. I miss your nose. I miss your hands. I miss the way you touch me. The way
Are you speaking to the listener?
No, I'm talking to you. What do you mean I'm talking to the listener? I'm talking to you.
Oh, I thought you were telling the listener how much you missed them, or the way they touch you.
No, I'm just missing you, man. I'm just stuck here by myself.
Oh. Am I allowed to come and visit you?
You're not allowed to come. You can wave at me from the window. To all you listeners who are listening right now, I went to Ibiza for the weekend and...
got arrested importing drugs back into the UK. So now he's under house arrest. We're very sorry.
No, that's totally not the case. I went to Ibiza for a lovely getaway with my girlfriend just for a couple of
days. Someone planted it in your suitcase. I get it.
And I now have to self-quarantine for 14 days in the house with my girlfriend. We're stuck in here. We're not allowed to go anywhere. I don't know if you're allowed to go to the shops or not. I haven't been to the shops yet.
But really? But do you ever go to the shops?
Yeah, I go to the shops loads. Go to Sainsbury's, go to Tesco's, yeah. Go to Waitrose, go to all the big
ones. Why did you do Sainsbury's and Tesco's first? Because I know that's not the one you frequent
Sainsbury's
most.
Is nearest to me. Then it's M&S. Then it's Tesco's.
Tesco's is probably as far away as Waitrose, right?
No, Waitrose is nearer than... No, Sainsbury's is way closer. Sainsbury's is just across the road from me.
Yeah, and Waitrose is just at Gloucester Road, just behind you.
Yeah, but that's like a mile walk. That's like far. Sainsbury's, I could throw a stone at it. I could throw it.
But Tesco's, where's the nearest Tesco's to you?
Down the road, closer as well than the Waitrose.
So for you, it's really distance that's important over quality.
Yeah, it is.
Does that apply to all things?
Hello, everybody. Welcome, Private Parters. We have a lovely episode today with the glorious, a friend of the podcast, Brennan Rees. Brennan is a comedian. I just saw on Instagram that Brennan saw the Instagram thing from Lad Bible where a guy ate McDonald's for 24 hours. Brennan did the different thing where he ate every single thing on the menu in 24 hours.
Jesus. Yeah, how long did it take him?
Well, he ate everything on the menu in 24 hours.
So how long did it take him to do it?
Well, obviously 24 hours.
What, he was eating non-stop for 24 hours?
Well, he had breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, so it, you know, well, a few hours.
How long
do you eat?
You're going to love this episode. He's a hilarious comedian. As always, you Private Parters, we thank you so much for tuning in every single week. It means a hell of a lot to us.
Didn't you take a leaf out of his book, Jamie?
What do you mean?
About, you know, how that story he told us about his auto fellatio.
Where he gave himself a blowjob.
Yeah. And you got a rib removed.
As always, we thank you so much for tuning in every single week. Please leave us a comment or review. Also, if you'd like to get in touch, we would love to read out your comments, your stories, your questions on our bonus episode on every single Wednesday. Please DM us at Private Podcast or send us an email, contact@privatepodcast.com. But Francis, take it away with the intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Brennan Rees.
All Brennan Rees.
Hey, he's back. Friend to the podcast. Wait, how many times have you been on now, Brennan?
I think maybe just once.
Yeah.
Maybe. It was a while ago, but I still often think of it.
Brennan holds the record, I think, in Private Parts for the funniest story ever told.
Oh, I love that. No pressure.
I thought you meant he holds the record for the only story of self-fellatio.
When you said to me that you turned yourself into a naughty sea...
Sorry, it's auto-fellatio, right? That's the technical term, but I don't want to get fancy or anything.
Honestly, Brennan, it was the funniest thing that I've ever come across. That the fact that you were a naughty sea in your bedroom at 7 years old, whatever it was just... genius. Can I also say before we start the podcast, you look like you're in some sort of like tour bus or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just in the... I've moved into a house during lockdown because that's what you do in it. And I've got a little cellar because I was just living in a flat and then I was grown up and bought a house. And I've turned the cellar into like a little area where I can... If me and my girlfriend...
A man cave.
And not a man cave because I don't like them because they're full of like racists. I prefer...
Wait, hang on.
Like, do you know, like, men who are like, I've got a man cave, and I'm like, yeah, I bet you've got some dubious views on politics.
Why does that make them racist?
Because the type of man.
It's a big generalisation.
Brennan, it's true. Listen, I watched Louis Theroux the other day, and...
The special one on man caves?
It was his one where he goes around checking out everyone's man cave. No, it was the one where he goes and interviews extreme Nazis, and they all have man caves.
Yeah, well, I mean, I assume a lot of people have man caves, even Brennan Rees.
Not a man cave. This is a boy chamber.
Oh, right.
That's what I have.
A little boy chamber.
I mean, that sounds worse, doesn't it? Oh, God.
A sex dungeon, Brendan. Brennan.
I love you calling Brendan.
I mean, any name that's not associated with mine and the words boy dungeon.
Actually, speaking of Brendan, was it confusing being on Coach Trip, being called Brennan, and then obviously Brendan is like the main guy?
Well, one of the most confusing things was when I went on it, because we were both on Celebrity Coach Trip. When I went on it, everyone went, who the fuck is this? They thought that we were like producers or runners because they were like, we don't even know who these boys are. Son off.
Hold on, I'm going to intro the podcast that we've got to get into. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast in the studio on the Zoom call. Brennan Rees.
Yes. More Zooms. I love Zooms. Family Zooms. Quiz Zooms. Podcast Zooms.
No house party over here, though. That's the only thing that I'm just disallowing. I just don't like house party. But anyway, hang on. You went on Coach Trip. I didn't see this. What happened?
Yeah, I went on Celebrity Coach Trip with also friend of the podcast, Stephen Bailey.
Yes, you know him? Yes, he's been
Stephen
on.
Stephen Bailey. Love Stephen
Bailey. Yeah, we're like childhood best friends. And someone rung up and went, do you want to be on Celebrity Coach Trip? And I went, but we're not celebrities. And Stephen went, be quiet, they're going to pay us. So we decided to go on it. And it was brilliant. It was great fun. Because you were on it with one of my best friends, Sarah.
Yes, yeah. Do you know, I was very apprehensive about the whole thing, but I kind of thought, fuck it. And actually, I was pleasantly surprised. It was actually really fun. And it was kind of like a load of people you wouldn't like ordinarily kind of spend that period of time in such close proximity with. And
no, wait, hang on. Sorry to cut you off. That's not quite true, because I think at the beginning you were literally like, what the hell are we doing?
No. I reached a point at the end where I was like, actually, this has been quite good fun, you know? Yeah, exactly. I was on the verge of leaving and walking away until I won it.
Yeah. Well, we've won now. That was actually quite fun.
What a lovely experience.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you like reality TV or celebrities from the 90s. It sounds like you're like winning things.
Yes, well, that's the thing. I'm quite competitive. I don't know if you watched that season with Sarah and I, but it was. I guess my
You nearly got kicked off at one point, though, didn't? Isn't that what happened?
The first day. Yeah, that's the thing. We were one vote away from being kicked off every day.
Wait, Brennan, so can I ask, or maybe you can't reveal it, did you win or no?
No, we didn't win the show, but we won the hearts of the nation. That's how we spin it.
Moral victory.
I mean, we did.
Well, Sarah and I won both of the
So why did you get kicked? Because you're one of the nicest people I know, so who fucking dare they kick you off?
Yeah, where did you come actually?
I think we came second. We never got booted off because we tried to walk off the show because they kept forgetting to feed us. And I'm from the north, so I quite like food. And the turning point, I don't really kick off with anyone. The turning point was once we were in the middle of France, and it was about 11 at night, and I'd not eaten. And I went to a McDonald's, and they were like, no. And I was like, oh, come on. And they were like, drive through. And I was like, right, okay, I ain't got a car. So I had to walk through a drive through while there's like all these like lads in cars with like blue lights underneath their cars, and I'm just sort of taking one step forward. I think I invented social distancing.
Wait, Ben, you're like, you didn't walk through a drive-thru. You didn't walk through a drive-thru.
I did. And then the most annoying thing is I got to the window and they said, no, you haven't got a car. And I thought, sod this. So I went back to the hotel and everyone sort of, we haven't eaten for like 3 days. All the runners and all the brilliant camera people are all sort of laying around looking lethargic. And I went, I'm gonna be like Spartacus and I'm gonna take one for the team. And I went, right, listen up here. And everyone just went, oh God, the boy who thinks he's a celebrity has now become a celebrity and shot at us. And I went, we need some pizza here in the next hour or I'm leaving. And then some pizza turned up and I thought, oh, I could live like this. And since then, I've been a piece of shit.
You went for it. You're like...
You threw a hissy fit.
I threw a hissy fit?
I did. It was quite nice. I liked it. I liked the way it felt.
Did it feel really good that you were giving a hissy fit?
Yeah. I could understand why Elton John just shouts at people all the time now. I'm like, I understand it. I get it. I got back home. I was like telling my mum to make me a sandwich and cut the crusts off. She was like... Shut up. Give it a rest.
Get back to your man cave.
Yeah.
Wait, but hang on. What is the experience like on coach trip? Because I feel like being on a bus full of people that you don't
also
know.
Also, the cameras are always on you, right? Like,
are they always?
They're always recording on the bus.
And
I've never been like in that sort of TV setting, right? Like, you know, with Made in Chelsea, we kind of. You know, you would always have, you always cut and like sort of, you'd sit around for
ages. Go to your green room and then.
Hang on, a cut on Made in Chelsea? You mean none of it? I am appalled.
Yeah, do you know what, Brendan? Hey, listen, there are cuts.
And you know, the best is when you're having a conversation with someone and then you cut and then you think of something even better to come back to. So you just restart the conversation where you want
that
to start.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Is this the point where I find out you're both like miners' sons from Bradford? You're just brilliant character actors.
Yes, exactly. I'm actually a miner's son.
No, I still think the best is on Made in Chelsea is when you do exactly that. You shoot a scene and you react in a certain way. So someone walks in or someone finds out that you've cheated or something's happened and you react in a certain way and they go, oh, cut. No, we can't. We've got to do something differently. And then they redo it and you don't give the same reaction because you realise that you look like a plonker. But you, on coach trip, probably weren't allowed to do that because they were following you the entire time. That's hectic.
That's hectic. It was like 17, 18 hours a day. And the best bits were, like, I think you'll agree, Francis, was like the activities where you got to get flung off something and jump around.
I lived for the activities because I think I didn't. Those were the things that I really looked forward to every day, those activities. And then I just kind of let rip.
Wait, what activities did you do?
All sorts.
Paintball. We did, paintball.
Hang on. What else, Francis? Paintball and...
What's it called? Jetpack?
A jetpack. No, you didn't. A jetpack on an
did.
E4 budget? Fuck off.
Yeah, we did a jetpack. We did
a jetpack.
We did like a mountain climb, abseiling.
We did a SpaceX flight one afternoon.
We flew around in these planes, in these like micro planes. It was actually really cool, the activities we
did. There was one day where because I wanted to do everything, because I was like, this is basically like Freshers Week, and you get paid to do it.
It's Freshers Week, so you were having sex and drinking loads. Is that what you were doing?
No, I was crying and wanking quite a lot. Very much like my Freshers Week. they were the activities. I got red carded pretty quick. Brendan, the guy who ran the coach, he was, if anything, he was encouraging it. But yeah, one day they announced a bungee jump near the end, and everyone, there was like 14 of us, like Mr. Motivator moaning in the corner. There was, you know, some people off Love Island or whatever. They went, we're doing this bungee jump, and everyone went, nah, not doing it. And I thought, they've paid for that. They've paid for 14 bungee jumps. It's quite a lot of money, isn't it? So I thought, right, I'll do it. It's in Spain. I'll get to do it over this lovely, like, you know, maybe over the sea or somewhere. And it was over a car park, and I almost shit myself.
But it's one of the scariest things in the world when you do a bungee jump, isn't it? Because firstly, it's the I did mine in Peru, and do they do the thing where they like they Velcro your legs together? Do they do that with
yeah.
you? And you're like, this is just Velcro. This isn't going to hold me. Like, why are you Velcroing my legs? And then you go all the way up the top in like a crane, and
yeah.
you stand over the edge, and you think this is the most unnatural thing in the world to do is jump towards the ground. And then you jump towards the ground. You're just hoping that the whole thing's going to spring back up. It then springs back up, and your legs feel like they're slipping out of it.
It was terrifying. And also, it felt like the whole setup was... It was a Liverpudlian man which put the fear of God in me. And it's like he'd bought a crane off of Facebook Marketplace and gone, I can make some money in Spain. And then the health and safety was just hold your hands out and jump.
What? How many people were there doing it? Just one person at the top?
Yeah, there's just this lad who could speak about four words of English. Hands out, jump now. That's what he knew.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wait, so but how many, Jamie, how many have you done of these
Done, well, there was this one, I told you the one time that I did loads. That I've done one, Brennan, where I did it in Peru and it was, the whole thing was horrendous. I thought I was going to die. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. And then the other time was when I got a really lucrative brand deal, right? It was epic.
I've heard about these.
Yeah, the lucrative brand deal. I was very excited about it. It was to promote a new pizza called The Edge. And my agent didn't tell me at the time that she said, look, you're going to go and do this thing. It's at the O2. It's really exciting. You're going to love it. She said, but I can't tell you what it is because we want when you turn up, they want the reaction to be your normal reaction. And I was quite young at the time, so it's my first brand deal I ever had. So I was like, oh my God, this is just unbelievable what they're doing. This is so exciting. So I turned up, I went out that night to celebrate and I didn't go to bed.
Yeah.
And I turned up at the O2 car park at 8 a.m. in the morning and it was a 100-meter bungee jump from a crane. And I hadn't slept, and they were hoping for a really good reaction. And I was like, oh my God, I just looked like I was about to die.
Were they filming you?
Filming me the whole way through. They then put cameras all over me, GoPros everywhere, all these kind of things. I'm like, oh my God, I'm starting to feel really anxious. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I'm about to have a full-blown panic attack about to do this. I then get in this like metal rickety lift to go all the way up. And I get to the edge. And they say, right, Jamie, now when you jump off, can you eat the pizza and smile? And I was like, I'm about to shit myself. Are you joking? I'm going to jump off to the ground in this crane in the middle of O2 car park. I said, go on, it. So I then jumped and did it. It was the worst thing of my life. I got off, said, oh, thank God we've done that. And they said, no, you've got to do it. I did it another seven more times. And after the seventh time, the guy said, yeah, we should probably stop. The most I've ever seen anyone do is six. And I literally was like, oh. And then Francis and I go and do a personal appearance at Leeds University. We went and did that. And on the way down, I got arrested on the train for speaking too loudly in the quiet carriage. And they cancelled the whole brand deal.
Oh, my God.
They cancelled the whole thing because it overshadowed it. And I was like, sorry, I've just jumped 8 times off a fucking bungee jump and now been arrested and I don't get any of that deal.
He thought he was some big shot talking about his big deal in the quiet carriage. And then he got arrested and lost the whole brand deal.
And the funniest thing was, as I got arrested, Francis was just saying to the police officers, I'm going to report you. I'm going to report you. And the guy took me off the train, shoved me against the wall, handcuffed at Peterborough Station. And I looked around and Francis was leaning his head out the window and he went, what do I do? And I said, come get me. And he did one of those things. It was literally like the last thing he wanted to do was get off the train. So he sort of pretended the door was locked and was literally like, I don't know how to get out. And
no,
the
I got
went.
Off. I got off the train.
No, and you then didn't
I
get off the train.
Yes, I did. I did get off the train. I said, this is, you know, he hasn't done anything wrong, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, well, I think I'm probably better off trying to get you out from London. So I'll get
then
on the train.
As the train went off, Francis' head out the window, he shouted, I'll write a letter. That's
what I did actually write a letter.
He shouted that.
I did you a solid there. I complained.
Brennan, have you ever been arrested?
No, I've got in trouble before. Like,
what were you doing?
I remember
giving yourself fellatio in public.
Yeah. I just put a hat down in Covent Garden and hoped that people would throw a tenner in. God, this is very modern. Come on, stop crying. Have a look. So, what happened was I went to Birmingham Uni. And in the third year, I got to live with some of my mates and we were all just dead excited. We'd all met up after the summer holidays. And then we went out on a night out and it just sort of got a bit out of hand. And then we did that thing. And I don't know why boys do it where they're like, let's take our clothes off. So we were in a park, hedge jumping.
Jamie, you know nothing about that.
I mean, I beg to differ. You've both been to private school. So
wait, hang on a minute. Can I just understand this? You just described, I don't know why boys do this. Why do boys get naked in a park at night? I mean, do boys do this?
We're just like giggling, like, ooh, this. And then we started hedge jumping. So there was four of us. It looked like someone had dumped like old sort of Greek, maybe shit Greek, statues in a hedge. And we're all giggling. And I was at the bottom. And then I just saw these flashing blue lights. And I thought, oh God, this isn't going to end well. And we were being told off.
It's not going to be good.
What time was this?
This was about 3 a.m. It wasn't like
It
wasn't like 2 p.m. and someone was trying to watch Countdown and be like, what the bloody hell's going on there?
There are children around.
Yeah. Yeah, and four of them were in a bush. And we, so they were cautioned us. But they cautioned us before they made us go and get our clothes. So we were just sort of like naughty boys all stood there naked, covering our bits while they gave us a slap on the wrist, essentially.
Did they make you sign the sex register? Or?
No, but we did all have, like, they gave us, like, one of those long slips where they fill out your form. We had them all on the fridge. And three of us all had our gender as male. And Tom, my friend, had it as unknown. And I just thought, that was the police officer saying he had the smallest willy.
It's quite scary, though, when the police, when they come up to you, it's actually quite scary. It's really intimidating, isn't it? Because you're like, oh, my God, because especially when you've never been caught by the law. It's one of those, like, really intimidating things that happens because you have no idea what's going to happen, do you?
No, and you just think it's going to be the worst. Like, you're going, oh, God, I'm going to get arrested. I'm probably going to do 2 to 3 years in prison. It just gets very serious very quick, doesn't it?
But I had that. I had that when I was at Leeds University. It's true. Why do we like getting naked? I got naked all the time for some reason. And
what is it? Why? Because girls don't do it. Girls don't go like, hey, like they don't. Do you know what I mean? They're not like four girls being like, look at this, lads. Or
but I don't know. I've never done it when it's not like I've done like skinny dipping and stuff like that. But I've never just sort of got naked and run around naked. I don't see it.
I have a girlfriend actually. I'm still friends with her today. And we were up in Scotland once, and we were like driving in this like Land Rover, and I leant over to my friend and farted on my friend, and it was like ha 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 ha. And then my other friend like leant over to him and farted on him. It was ha ha ha. And then my friend, who's a girl in the front, honestly pulled down her pants, sat on the seat and spread her cheeks and farted at us in the back. Oh. And turned around and went ha ha. And we were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa,
when someone just takes a joke too far. Because the thing with a fart as well is you can say things. I figured this out the other day, where you can say things and you can take them back. Like, say if I said to you, Francis, I was like, oh, I don't really like that picture. And you went, what? And I went, oh, it's just a joke. A fart, you can never take back. A fart's a fart. You can't. Like, if someone went, what did you say? And you go, it's, oh, no, sorry, I'm shit.
Or you can just blame it on someone else.
It's so true. You can never take back a fart, though. You can never take back a fart. It's one of those things. Once you've done it, it's out there.
Yeah.
And the worst, I think, is when you're on a flight and you've had, because you're hoping that the aircon like covers it up, but sometimes it doesn't, and that means it's broken through a lot of things, and then it's really awkward with people that you're sitting next to. So I don't think Francis, have you ever had an encounter with the police?
I'm known to the police.
You're known to the police.
I've had a lot of them ask me for pictures. I was walking down the Fulham Road, and the police car like pulled up, like screeched to a halt next to me, and then this guy got out and was like, excuse me, sorry, would you mind my partner or whatever wanted a picture.
My partner. My partner. Yeah, yeah. My partner.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they have partners, you know. Which made me feel above the law, I have to say. No.
When you said the police asked you for pictures, I so misunderstood that, and I thought they were like, excuse me, can we have your hard drive?
No, I know.
That's what I thought. Yeah, yeah. My wife's a big fan, but that is illegal.
I did this. This is no word of a lie. I did a police show called Fighting Crime, which is where I was a special in the police force, actually in Peterborough.
So now you definitely feel above the law.
So now, especially when I'm drunk and I like police are like doing something quite rightly. They're like arresting people or whatever they're doing. They're doing their duty. I sort of give them like a knowing nod. So I go, well done, officer. I do all these kind of things. And then the other day, I thought I saw a vigilante. I saw people on scooters driving around my area in London. So I phoned up the police station. I phoned 999 to give them a tip-off. And I was actually like, don't worry, just having your back there. I honestly think that I'm part of...
What do you think the vigilantes are?
They're just... the vigilantes are... It's from Grand Theft Auto, isn't it? What's a vigilante?
But how many stars on Grand Theft Auto? Are we talking
to five?
Five stars. The tanks are out.
Yeah, can we just talk about that? Isn't that mental? On Grand Theft Auto, when you run over like four people, they get the army involved. The army is suddenly on the street blowing your car up with a tank.
They see the same as running two pedestrians over to stealing a plane.
Yeah. Also, how does the guy in Grand Theft Auto know how to fly? I don't understand how he's an unbelievable pilot. He can literally go through buildings. It's unbelievable.
He can only get as far as a mountain, though, and then he will have to swim back to shore.
Right, Brennan, we got to that moment in the podcast where, Francis, we need to have the question of the week.
How many varieties of banana are there?
Wow,
that's a really you want to go for that one? Do you know his question was last week, Brennan?
Go on.
His question last week was where Hitler shot himself. What is it now?
And guess where he shot himself? In his man cave, exactly.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did, in a bunker. But it was just like German for man cave.
No, he was living in a bunker, but he actually didn't shoot himself in the bunker.
Oh,
yeah, Brennan.
Where did he shoot himself?
In what is now a child's playground.
Oh my God. God, he was a nasty man. Yeah. I don't know much about him, but I've heard he's pretty bad.
Wait, okay, so Brendan, as our guest, you have to give your answer first. So how many different types of banana are there, do you think?
I think there's going to be a lot, because I'm guessing plantain is probably classed as one, which I think I tried recently. Is that not?
No. Is that banana?
Yeah, plantain is a type of banana, yeah.
Is it? Okay, fine. Yeah. We're on. You're on, buddy. Go, Brandon.
That was,
you think?
That was new. So I'm going to say 58. Yeah.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
Of course there's 58. Like, you get like green ones where they're not ripe.
Yeah.
Fat ones.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two, and I don't know much about bananas.
Brandon, there's no way 58.
48. But you get those ones, the ones that you can get from a corner shop that are like sweets.
Oh, those are lovely.
Yeah.
No, they're not. No, the sweets don't count as bananas. They're a different type of banana. Okay, I'm going to go for... You've gone for 58. I'm going to go for 72.
72?
Yeah, I've just gone above you. I think that actually you've gone for a good number. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're going to find out in part two. Brendan, by the way, you have to stick around for part two. You can't go anywhere from your man cave. Don't you dare.
That's fine.
Don't you dare.
I've been dared now. I might go to the kitchen.
What does the sign say behind you? Move your head a little bit.
It says up to no good.
I can't wait.
It was a ward that I got given when I was a teenager, when they were like, Mum heard him sucking himself off. She would did me an illustration. Very good. Thanks.
What's that bit of money? What's that framed money?
Oh, this is... Yeah. So when I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival the first time, because you're meant to lose so much money because it costs about 10 grand to do a show, and that's that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I my first one, I did really well, and I got nominated for an award, and I sold every ticket. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to be rich. And I made £10.
£10 profit?
Yeah.
£10 profit.
And then Live Nation said, do you want us to put in your bank account? And I went, I want you to give me the £10. So and I've got it framed.
Put in my man cave.
Yeah. And it's an old tenner as well, so it's probably worth £11 now.
Right, everybody.
Or nothing.
Listen, guys, we're going to see everyone in part two. So we'll see you in part two, ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye.
See you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.